Hello, and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991 in their voices.
There was no question of wedding planning. India hadn't seen a wedding planner. For me, it was extremely difficult to make people understand why you needed a planner. Why would you have me? When he said that my mama will handle the catering, the chacha will handle the bar, somebody will handle the fool, wala, so why do we need you? Weddings were very, very different in those days. People used to love to do these things. People never looked at it as a headache. It's today that people feel it's a headache because they are all so busy. It's a rat race today. In those days, it was not a rat race.
Did these lines ring a bell? Remember the scene in the Bollywood movie Band Baja Barat when Shruti Kakkar and Bittu Sharma introduced themselves as wedding planners to their possible first client? Remember how the man reacted? He said, "Hamare yahan to maame chaache milke karte hain shaadi ki planning. Wedding planner ka hum kya karenge?" Today we bring you the story of someone who became a wedding planner when this man's reaction about maame chaache doing shaadi planning was a norm, when India had all of two or three wedding planners.
Yeah, so hi, I'm Meher Sarid. I'm 45 years now, turning 46 soon. I joined the wedding foray when it was very, very fragmented.
Sarid, who has been in the business of wedding planning since 1992, takes us through what weddings were like in the 1990s and how her first experiment raised many eyebrows.
All that I would always see, the standard foolwala would come and he would put some ladies of flowers, and that was the only style of arrangement. So I said, why aren't we doing cut flowers? More Japanese style and, you know, different styles of cut flowers and stuff like that. So we did the first wedding, so to say, with Western flowers. The florist was scratching his head. Everyone was wondering what the hell was going on. The customers that I had were very open, and they gave me that opportunity. And that was really my first break into doing a wedding, though I only did the decor part of it at that point of time.
Born in Sikandarabad, Sarid came to the business with a degree in hotel management and a training course at Hyatt. At the end of her degree, Sarid joined Sheraton, where she managed banquets. Sarid knew she wanted to do something different about weddings, but she wanted to see what was going on in the world wedding scene. We're talking about a time when traveling was not as easy as it is now. One of the people we interviewed for this series, Deep Kalra, the chief executive of online travel portal Make My Trip Inc., said, "In our times, we had to think twice for making the trip, in spite of me working in a bank." But Sarid said, traveling for her was not an option. She had to travel.
We didn't have internet. There was no internet. So the only way to go out there and do it was do it yourself and do it physically. I used to buy a lot of magazines from abroad, like you would get international publications. So I used to see these magazines and I used to really get excited that, you know, there's so much of design around, and why can't that design come in? Why are we so stuck in the way we think? I said, I have to do something about it. So my dad would not have the money to fund my travel. Then I decided to apply for an airline job. I said, let me just take on an airline job and let me travel the world. This was December 92. So my agenda, I have joined Cathay Pacific. I took up a long distance course for wedding management at La Rochesse, which is in Salzburg, Austria. I said, I want to learn about basically event management, want to specialize in it. So I took up a long distance course, out of which 3 months I had to spend time over there. I started flying. I used to go to different destinations, different countries. And the only thing that I would do is land there, dump my bags, get out onto the streets, go and find out, ask the hotel receptionist, who's the florist here, who's this here, have meetings with them, talk to them, find out what they were doing. So I did a lot of groundwork in those few years that I was with Cathay.
That was 1992, a year after liberalization. India was evolving and so were the choices of Indians. Career choices, which are now just a part of our lives, didn't even exist then. Sarid travelled, she studied abroad, but kept coming back to India to establish her company, to do a business that didn't exist then. Sarid tells us how all those who were part of the unorganised business of wedding were resistant to the idea of change.
So these years that I was coming back to India and trying to seek business in this space, I would find a lot of resistance from people who used to do tent supplies, resistance from the florists over there in India, like whoever were the regular florists. For a new generation wedding planner, it's very easy to step in now. But if you were to step in at a time when everyone's comfortable with everything, they'd say, hey, what's the need for change? So if for a person like me, it was extremely difficult. And then when the people did use me, and I would say, don't pay me, let me just do it for you. And that's how I really started. My first few functions were like, let me do it for you. I did a kid's birthday party, a really large one, where I didn't charge anything. But after I finished the function, they gave me 50,000 rupees. So this is 93. Then I did a wedding in, again, end 93, which was, again, of a really large scale, where they said that, okay, you come and show us what you can do. These guys were so impressed that I got my first check of 1.5 lakhs. And in those days, 1.5 lakhs was a huge amount. Then the third one was one which I did for someone where I created Paris for them in a farmhouse. I flew in a BMW car in a chopper. I got it to land for a girl's 18th birthday. This must be, I think, 94. You know, choppers were not allowed in those days. We went into permission. You couldn't fly a chopper over Delhi's area. So that's it. After that, I never looked back after that party.
Sarit got into the wedding planning business in an India that had just shifted from being socialistic to a liberalized one. Rupees 1.5 lakh was a lot then. But just make a guess. How much do you think the Indian wedding business is worth today? It is nearly $40 billion a year and is growing at nearly 20%. India is just behind the US wedding market at $50 billion. In the beginning, Sarit says most of her customers were high-profile people, very rich people. But things started changing around early 2000. A dream, expensive wedding stopped being only an upper-crust fetish. It was also a luxury the middle class could afford.
So it typically changed around 2003, I would think. 2003 saw the year where farmhouses came up, public farmhouses. Common garden areas in communities were given out for weddings. So that was 2003. You know, community centers opened up. And so 2003 really saw. So whatever would the rich people would do, so to say, in the first 2 years would filter down into the next strata. And the real rich people were these people who were the new rich people. It was not the old rich people. Person who sold a large piece of land to some builder and earned that money, he's become new rich. He was middle class, he's become new rich now people. And most of them had not traveled, most of them had not seen stuff. It isn't as easy as it is today. Like, I mean, people can pick up a Turkish airline ticket and go to Morocco, go here, go there, do whatever they want to at a really cheap cost. That was all not there back then.
Liberalization brought with it a revolution in consumer consciousness, a new mindset which let go the socialist inhibitions, and people became ready to spend more. When money came to what Sarit calls the new rich, their spending patterns were very different from the old rich.
For them, the theme would be red and white. While for a rich person, the theme would be, let's say, the Garden of Eden, for example. So that was the difference. But the middle class did come up. The new rich would spend on bling. The old rich would spend on class and luxury. And the middle class would always go into a color theme. 2003 was pretty much a turning point in the industry. And that's when people started looking at this as a career option.
Fashion designer Rohit Bal, after a bridal show in Delhi, as quoted by a 2013 article in Business of Fashion, said, "The Indian wedding is the Indian wedding is the Indian wedding. Where else can you show off your extravagance, your opulence, your wealth?" And that's quite right. Over the years, weddings have become aspirational. For many, it is a constant class struggle. Also a reflection of India's desire for upward social mobility.
It was always that, oh, hamari shaadi unke shaadi se better honi chahiye. That started somewhere around 2005 or so. And I find that a very North Indian trend. I don't see that in Bombay. I don't see that in Gujarat. I don't see that anywhere else. But I find it a lot in North India. More, say, let's say, Delhi NCR. Where I find that there was this whole competitive edge that was going on. This was the time that people would want to outdo the other one. And to outdo, they would do all kinds of obnoxious things, but I will not have a girl on a helium balloon coming down and offering you roses. It's not going to happen. I did it myself at the Sahara wedding because that was a huge wedding. There were like 5,000 guests over there. 5,000-6,000 guests, 2 days. Over 2 days, the wedding functions were on 2 days. And I did get the helium girl because it was a huge scape of land. And it was all right. The kind of crowd that was coming there wanted that. I got the London Symphony Orchestra into India for the first time to perform over there. So, there is a time and a place for everything, but in a small place over here and you want a helium balloon with a dancing Russian on it coming down to give you a rose in a typical Marwadi, Punjabi type of family, I won't do it.
The business of spending in weddings has changed so much that there are hardly a few things that still form a part of an Indian wedding as they did back in the 1990s. Sarit tells us about the change.
Everything has changed. The only thing that remains a constant is the phoolon ki ladi, the jaymala. The jaymala has evolved. Today you have jaymalas that are made out of inverted rose petals. Beautiful jaymalas which come in from Thailand, made out of different Thai flowers. You have them mixed and matched with real pearls and real emeralds and real rubies. You have them made with polki jaymalas interspersed with like flowers and big polkis, and then so they've evolved, but they are static. The mandap has to be there, and depending on your faith, then your flower ladis will happen at one function or the other, or at home. You cannot do without a gende ka ladi. So these two things typically haven't changed, but everything has changed in shape and form.
Clearly Indians have more money than they used to. As a salesman and several others we interviewed for this series said, now there is money but no time. Sarit says that this is why the business of wedding planning flourished, because people have no time anymore. Interview by Ashwak Masoodi, produced by Anik Biswas.